we learn all these different kulos that since it's only a hanhaga tova, it's not really a chiyuv. So if someone has a choice between we learned, you know, kulos on what meiser is taken from and how to use it. So it says if I use it, a person can needs money, he can borrow it himself. Is it better to be mafrish more and borrow it, or better to be mafrish less and not have to borrow?
That's a good question. I don't know 100%, but off the top of my head, it depends. If you know that the borrowing is short term and eventually you're going to pay it back, better to be mafrish more and borrow it. If you know the borrowing is long term and may never be that you'll pay it back, right, because your situation may never change, then it's better to be mafrish a lot less, give it, and not borrow. That's off the top of my head. It seems seicheldik that should be the answer. Whether that's the halacha or not, I don't know. But that, not always is the halacha what my mind would think is right. What a right mind would think is right, the halacha is like that. But that can't be sure that your mind is... But that seems seicheldik. Okay, a woman who goes out to work. I don't know why he has a woman over there. I guess because this is printed in Israel. Could be man who goes out to work too, right? Why say woman? Isha yotzei lavo. A woman goes out to work, and because of that, she has to hire. Okay, the truth is, in this case, I understand why it says woman. She has to hire a babysitter. Man goes out to work, he doesn't have to hire a babysitter, leaves his wife home to watch his kids. Right? But the woman goes out to work, right? Her husband usually is working also, or he's learning, so he's not staying home with the kids, so somebody has to stay with the kids. So you have to hire a babysitter to be able to make a woman work. Okay. Or she also has to hire an ozeret in the house. Since she's busy working, she can't clean her house. So she needs somebody to help her clean the house. And that costs money. So now her job earns her, let's say, 1,000 shekel a month. Okay, out of that 1,000 shekel, she has to pay 200 shekel for a mikvah for her children, and another 200 shekel for a cleaning lady. So the truth is, in order for her to earn that 1,000 shekel, right, she has to spend 400 shekel to make the 1,000. So these aren't expenses. This is her. Now if you look at what she's really earning, she's not earning 1,000 shekels, she's only earning 600 shekels. So she only has to take meiser from the 600 shekels. This is not expenses. These are things that enable her to work. Whatever enables you to work goes into the bigger picture of how much you're earning or not.
Transportation.
Same thing with transportation, right? Or she needs what's it called, transportation, also going to that. I have to get to work. I earn a certain amount, but I have to spend per month, right, $200, 200 shekel on what's it called, on bus transportation, and I make 1,000 shekel, I'm only making 800 shekel. There's no way that I could get this job if I don't spend the money on the bus. Can't walk there because it's too far, right? If you could walk there, and you choose to take the bus for your own comfort, that's a different story. Okay. Therefore, not only that, but even not such simple things. Isha hayotzei lavod, woman goes out to work. Umishum kach hutzrucha lirchosh liasum begodim chashuvim. This could apply to a man too. You have to buy, you know, nicer clothing because you're working. Your employer wants you to look nice, right? Otherwise, you look like a schlepper. Especially if you're in a clothing store or whatever selling clothes, and you look like a schlepper. People walk in there and they say, I'm not interested in buying clothes in this place or whatever. So you have to look nice. Or you work for a respectable firm, and they expect the people who represent the firm to look sharp, not to look like schleppers. So you have to go out and buy a whole new wardrobe in order to be able to get that job. So you can subtract all of that, right? Again, within reason. If you what you need for the job, you decide that you want to, you know, work in a $2,000 evening gown, that may be not necessary. So what's it called? So you can subtract what's necessary for the job from your earnings. You have to make this expense in order to be able to get the earnings.
Is it only the difference in what's necessary for the job versus what you would have needed otherwise?
Probably. In other words, yeah. In other words,
I need clothes anyway.
Right.
But now I have to spend that more expensive clothes.
Right.
So
right. But it could be talking even in a case where I don't need any more clothes. I have plenty of clothes. But I have to go out specifically and buy these clothes, then you can take the entire amount off.
Okay. Could it also be partially subjective? Meaning, let's say a woman, you know, is required to dress to a certain standard. And really, a tickle would be decent looking tickle would be sufficient. But once she's dressing the rest of, you know, a little more respectively, with the rest of it, she wants to wear a shape.
The famous miser like that. The woman, her husband said to her, "What, you know, what can I get you?" She says, "No, I just want, you know, new pair of stockings or something." Fine, it, you know. And then she said, "Well, you know, with the new pair of stockings, the shoes that I'm wearing don't really go with the stockings." He says, "Okay, well, I have a new pair of shoes." He said, "Well, new pair of shoes, my dress doesn't really look good with the shoes the new shoes and the old dress. So I buy her a new dress from Tilly, and they're buying her a new shaitel or whatever." So that's what you're talking about. It's very subjective. If you don't need for the job that thing and you're doing it extra, right, and you could not spend $2,000 on a shekel and get a nice tickle for $25, so, and that would be sufficient for the job, but you decide that, you know, since you have to get such a nice dress and whatever, you might as well have a nice shekel, then that's your business, not the... Now, if the boss says to her, "Don't come with that tickle tomorrow, go get a shekel," then you can pay for the shekel. You can subtract the shekel from the earnings. But if the boss says, "Fine, tickle is fine," but you feel that you want a nice shekel, that's not something you can subtract. Okay, not only that, if a person needs to go and take a course in order to be able to get a job, so they can subtract the money they pay for the course from the earnings of that year at least. Okay, they can't subtract it on a constant basis, but for the year that they got the job, the money they spend for the course, they can subtract from their total earnings. Even if a person has a job already, and he wants to go for hishtalmiyot, and because of that, he'll make more money. So what's it called? He can take out the extra money that he's going to earn because he took this course. He can subtract the money for the course from the extra earnings. Right? If the course costs more than the extra earnings, it's a little ridiculous to take the course, unless he just wants the knowledge. That you can't subtract.
It might be spread over several years.
Right. Yeah, okay, that could
the
be.
Extra earnings.
Yeah, that could be. Then you can take it prorated over.
Then the medical school.
Then the Chara, yeah. Well, then you can take it over prorated, probably. But somebody just wants to increase their knowledge, and it's not really going to impact on their wages, they can't subtract that from their earnings. Okay. Okay, the next thing we'll speak about next week is taxes. Which taxes come off the top of your earnings and you don't have to take off miser before taxes, only after taxes, and which taxes don't come off your earnings and you have to take it off, even include the tax in your earnings. Okay, that we'll get to next week.
We're talking about this Meister stuff for a few months now.
Yeah.
And if this is just possibly a Minhag Balama, not really necessarily a Halama.
Yeah.
On the other hand, the only mitzvah you know about in the entire Torah, Bachanunin Abbasot, is test Hashem, and you'll get back what you invested in giving Meister, this mitzvah.
It could be not this mitzvah. That maaser could be only talking about maaser tevuah. Maaser that you take from your grain.
Whatever maaser is talking about.
That's a chiyuv.
We're spending the past few months as a minhag and not a minhag. Once or twice we discussed what you need to give, and now we're spending about 3 months discussing what exactly you don't have to give in order to give.
Okay.
It's all discounts.
Right.
What do you need discounts for if you're going to get back the investment you put into it?
Because even though it's pretty much guaranteed that giving tzedakah or something, not clear that it's this miser. So if it's not, then obviously the question is no question. Let's assume that your question is a question, that it's talking about this kind of miser. And you're guaranteed, but it's still not guaranteed. Okay, first of all, maybe guaranteed It says that what's it called? That a person will get back, right? Asher b'avur shetei asher. That's all it says. You become rich. But some sofer says it doesn't mean you're going to get money. It means that the Rabbanu Shem will give you the feeling of sameach b'chelko. You'll be happy with what you have. But then we have to know you have to have something.
What? That's not such a small asset they have.
Yeah, it's a very big asset. But the maisa, if you could be happy with what you have, but you don't, if you don't have anything, you're going to starve. So you'll be happy starving, but you, that's why we have to know how much you have to give so you don't have to end up starving. Right? If let's say, even not according to some sofer, that it means your mama's going to get the money. First of all, it may not happen that you're going to get it now. Maybe you get it next year. Until then, you may starve to death if you give too much and you don't take into cheshbon how much, right? Also, you may get it back, but your children need a briefcase for school, and you're going to tell them, well, some, whenever I get it back, you'll get the briefcase. And then they become like, you know, 35 years old looking for their own kid's briefcase, and you didn't get it back yet. Or, right, or, according to another pshat, even though it's guaranteed that it's going to work, that you're going to become rich because of this, there could be other things that stop that guarantee. It's guaranteed that if you plant watermelon seeds, you're going to get watermelon. But if you plant it under asphalt, it's not going to happen. That's not because the guarantee that watermelon seeds produce watermelon is wrong. It's because you did it in a way that is not going to produce results. So it's possible to give tzedakah and to have a million other things on the side that are going to prevent that tzedakah from producing the result. So because of all of those reasons, it's kedai to deal with it realistically and not whatever. Same thing goes with Hotzah Shabbos and whatever. Yeah, on the in principle, yeah, a person should not be so medactic. But on the other hand, you can't be irresponsible either, and you have to deal with things as what's it called, as they are for the time being, not what the promises are for the future.
That's all very strange, because being involved with different aspects of tzedakah and chesed and helping people over the past few years of my life, the only people that ever even understood the definition of, much less asked for a tax deductible number or something, were not people that were hungry for bread. The people looking for the breaks are the people that could afford not to have the breaks.
Yes or no. Maybe there are people who could afford not having to look for the brakes because they look for the brakes. Could be. Okay. Could be not. And economy. Somebody who really does not need to worry about these things, then Adarabba, the mitzvah and amufkar, he shouldn't worry about them.
But it also comes strange, because as Eli started off, you're allowed to test Hashem. So what does that mean? According to what I'm saying, you shouldn't test Hashem because it's not acting responsibly with your money.
Unless, no, if you're not in a matzav where the test, if it doesn't pass, you're not going to be of sorus. It's l'rab. But otherwise, you're acting responsibly.
What I said about the courses, it's also not